I took the liberty to change the message a little bit. Probably don't know about it, but that's okay. I thought a good subject to talk about at the end of the year and the beginning of a new one is, what does equality look like? I asked a few people about that, and they just said they didn't really know. And so I'm going to read a couple scriptures, Galatians and John. John writes, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus." And then Jesus' words, he was talking about heaven and paradise. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." As I was getting my notes together and taking my thoughts out of my mind and putting them down on a piece of paper, I was watching Entertainment Tonight, and it was a special program about how many famous people did a lot of good works. And I think sometimes we forget that behind the scenes there is a lot of good people doing a lot of good things in this world. Sometimes the traffic of bad news gets to overshadow a lot of the good. And one of the things that I took from that, a lot of work was done over in Africa, and a lot of things we take for granted in this country. A lot of people don't even have fresh drinking water to drink, and they have to carry it for miles and miles. And just the idea that a well in the center of a small community was a big step forward. And I think sometimes we forget in this country how blessed we really are. And in a time and a season in which we are involved in giving, there again, I want to remind us that there is a lot of good people doing a lot of good things. And there's a lot of good people in this church who do a lot of good things. Each of us in our own way, in our own special way, we look out and help each other in a lot of different ways and one another. And sometimes that all gets drowned out in the busyness of life. Sometimes life itself requires our attention and our focus much of the time, and we don't necessarily have the time to sit back and reflect on a lot of good things that are happening in this world, around us. Each of us is a light in this world, and we have a voice. And as I look out into the upcoming year, it's an election year, and I think that our light and our voice, we are going to have to speak out whether we like it or not. I think it's going to be a year where I feel faith and religion is going to be pulled into politics. Whether we like it or not, it's going to divide us up, or it's going to try to divide us up. And we may not always like what we see, what is happening in this nation in this next year. I think it's going to be a volatile year. And in this light, I ask, what does equality look like? What does it look like now? What will it look like in the future? And equality has a history to it. I'll get to that in a little bit. Equality is the essence of being equal. I always like a definition that says, that's what it says, the essence of being equal. It refers to another word like equal. So it's the essence of being equal. What does that look like? In a book that I've used for several messages, Frank A. Thomas, who I went to see at Bethany last year, in a book called How to Preach a Dangerous Message, equality was his goal. He thought, at least a big stepping stone, and he was an African-American, and he saw, my question was, what would it take to, where is there, and will we get there? And he saw equality in education and healthcare and a good job and a good place to live, an opportunity for all. I'm not disagreeing with that. I think that would be a step forward. I think equality, where we have groups of individuals who are seen as being equal. We have a lot of inequities within ethnicities and different groups, and male and female. We have a lot of different, we have a ways to go. Is equal opportunity for all, is providing a path or a way to equality enough? Is that enough? Some may require more. Just giving the opportunity out there doesn't seem to be enough for some people. The definition that I'm going to use for equality is the condition of being equal. And equity is another word that I'm going to use here, which it means I'm going to use it as fairness, impartiality, or justice and fairness, or self-worth. We use equity in the terms of money, where you acquire equity, but I want to use it in self-worth, building self-worth, and having individual value. I think that's where I think equality doesn't necessarily look at it, the individual, as much as what it should. I'm going to use an illustration that I found online, and whether or not I agree with it or not, or whether you agree with it, it's a good illustration. It was an illustration between equality and equity. So there's three people, and I was going to use Shane because he's big, and then me in between, and Colleen, who's a little smaller. And these three people were looking at a fence, trying to see over the fence into a baseball game. And none of them could see. So equality said that the same person gets the same amount of step the whole way across. So Shane would have took a foot to see over top of the fence. And if I put a foot underneath me, I would still not see over the fence, nor would Colleen see over top of the fence. But that's in a sense of what equality is. Everybody gets the same across the board. And the next picture was equity, was that Shane would get a foot, I would get a 2-foot step, and Colleen would get a 3-foot step, and so that we would all see over the fence. So some require more. And then there was the third one, which was it was a liberation in which the fence was removed. So then everybody could stand at the ground and look and see the baseball game. And so I kind of like that illustration. So liberation was removing the obstacles that allow us not to have equality, which I see kind of where we should really go. Is it all really about us all being equal? Is equality about all of us being equal and treated the same? Or is it about each one of us having equity, value, or self-worth? To be liberated is to have no fence or no objects whatsoever in front of us. Is that really ever possible?
Well, I looked up equity, and this definition says equality of being fair and impartial, which isn't quite the same as being equal. Equity and equality.
It's two different things.
Yeah.
In my example, one took 3 feet, 2 feet, and 1 foot, rather than everybody getting the same 1 foot.
I've never thought about it before, so good point.
Respect for difference. I think there is where we, in this upcoming year, we're going to have. We're going to have to respect for difference. And I think Carol, who last Sunday brought up the idea, we were talking about the male-female seesaw type of thing, and that we must put respect in the middle of our fulcrum in which our balancing point is, I think. But we have enmity in there now. I think if you refer back to Genesis, where we're eventually going to go next Sunday, enmity was placed in there as a focal point, I think. And enmity is like a bitter attitude or feelings, hostility or animosity. In this upcoming year, I mean, can't you see where a lot of this is going to start playing out? It's going to be an election year, and as far as I'm concerned, it's going to be not very nice. At least that's the starting point of where I see it at. Is it going to be a continuation? And I want to refer to Jesus and what Jesus wrote in Luke 4, in which Jesus used these words in the beginning of his ministry, according to Luke, and it's a reference to Isaiah. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor and to set me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and to recover sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Are not we the people in which Jesus is referring to? Are not we as humans the ones who are held captive, or the poor in spirit? Are not we spiritually blind in some ways? Are we not oppressed in some ways? Yes, there's various different degrees of oppression. I understand that in this world. But is Jesus' words a sense of equality to all? I'm going to set you free. I'm going to have you to see that you'll be able to see spiritually. And I'm going to make you rich in the spirit. So it's a sense in which he's going to pour out, and there's a sense of equality in these words. But is equality just another step along the way? I have referred to justice and tolerance on a road to forgiveness and grace and mercy. But is equality merely a stepping stone in which we are, as a society, have to take? Yes, it is a good step forward. I'm not saying that it's not. But is it the final destination or goal? Or just a stepping stone along the way? Shouldn't we somewhere along the line start seeing moving from equality of groups? And I think equality works really well in different groups, large groups. You want to have this group. We'll take, for instance, the history of equality. I started out, and my list of things is from the Civil War and the freeing of slavery. Brown versus the Board of Education, where there was racial segregation. That was a step forward. Women's suffrage, a women's right to vote, but it was only white women who were allowed to vote. It wasn't anybody of color. Later, the president signed, one of the signs that when I went to research when women's rights came up, Mr. President, one of the signs that was held up by the women at the time, "Mr. President, you say liberty is the fundamental demand of the human spirit." I think that was kind of a nice sign. Equality for all women. So the women in general, the white women in general, were seeking equality as a group. We're seeking equality to their white counterpart, men. So equality in that respect works quite well. But it doesn't. I don't think equality necessarily speaks to the individual. The Civil Rights Bill, which I thought it was all done and taken care of by Johnson, but it was not. Somebody, a historian, maybe tell me a little bit more. Dwight Eisenhower signed the Bill of Rights. Am I correct?
Yes, but it was
very limited. Yes, okay, but it was a beginning of something. Yes, of something more. And then Johnson signed, in other words, Eisenhower, way I understand it, created a division in the Justice Department that individuals could be prosecuted for racial indifferences. But Johnson signed the Voting Bill of Rights, and that gave everybody the right to vote. Even of color. Busing was another thing that happened along the path, where we started busing, integrating schools. Affirmative action was another one. We say equal opportunity from employers. So now you're supposed to hire people that along the way, different ethnicities and different races. Then we started getting into special groups that were wanted rights. At least I see it that way. There's some violence started happening amongst groups, so the LGBT community wanted protection, which I understand that. and I don't have any problem. A woman wanted the right with abortion for to do with their body what they want. They wanted rights to their body. So we have a long road along the way in which we have come along the way. Now, I don't know how many of you have heard in the last week or so, President Trump has signed an executive order to combat campus anti-Semitic speech. I don't know if anybody has heard that one, but there is a concern in what he has done which will affect freedom of speech. So it was a way of him suppressing the what he considered to be the left and allegations that were put towards them against hate speech against the Jews. And it's under Title VI of the Civil Rights Bill. But for some reason, there is a lot of question as to whether or not this can happen. So at what point do we end up in our effort to try to have equality and we go over into where we are limiting rights, freedom of speech? How far can we go? I think we're getting real close to the edge, in my understanding of how I see events happening in the world around us. We in this country are very, very close to having some of our rights being limited and taken care of in the name of equality. And I think that we should be paying attention. And I'm sure most of us here are. But there's a lot of people who are not paying attention to what's happening. And I think sometimes some things may happen that we when it's too late.
Be careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah.
Because when you think everything's equal, you might even not realize what equal means.
Yeah, but
so what you wish for,
right.
Because you might get it.
Yeah.
I think that there are many of us who require more things, equity, more so than equality. I think that's where we should go. I see a head nodding back there. Very good. I'm glad somebody, you know, we were in agreement somewhat. And you agree too. That individuals, we need to allow the expression of individuals and equity. Everybody has equity. I think that's what Jesus was about. Jesus was about giving every one of us equity, not equality. Yes, he used equality in some ways, but he also was about the individual, for sure, I think. Matthew 5 is another one I wanted to look at, and this is about loving your enemies, in which he says that... that he causes the sun to rise on evil and good, and he sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So there's a sense of equality in the beginning of what Jesus is trying to say, that he doesn't show favoritism. There's a sense of equality. Both get the sun, both get the rain, and whether you're good or bad. But he goes on to say that if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? If you merely love the people who are equal to you, then what good is it? There's no equity in loving somebody who is just like you, and essentially what Jesus is saying. It says, are not even the tax collectors doing that? And the tax collectors was considered to be the lowest people of the low, and he says, even they can do that. Even though they can love their own kind. But if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than the others? Don't even the pagans do that? So he says, go, and then he says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is. And I don't particularly like the word perfect in a way that it's used, but I think that's another translation error. But be the best you can. And your heavenly Father is even better. I think it would be a better way of looking at that. I think in the end of this passage, as he's saying, be perfect, you're supposed to look at people as an individual. There's a sense of equity in what Jesus is saying. Look at the individual and love and respect them as individuals, not as, you know, just somebody similar to you. You have to look outside of your box and look and to love somebody different than you. I think that they're, you know, the reward is in the equity in which you are doing that. I think that's what Jesus is trying to say there. It is a long road to equity. Equity has taken equality has taken a long road. I mean, it hasn't been, in many societies, we still have a long way to go. What does equality look like to you? What do you think equality should look like? Does anybody want to throw in a word? Will we get there? Yes.
Each individual has their own idea of what equality is. And some may be more at home with less than what somebody else. I mean, there's a lot of people that have no perception of being even better than what they are because they're satisfied with their act.
But isn't that equity to them?
To them?
Yes.
But so if somebody else is looking from the outside, it would look equal. And that's where you get a lot of conflict because people interfere with somebody who's comfortable. They're trying to push them.
I think it goes to ideas in which they want to push on to somebody else. This is what you should be doing. Take the, for instance, what happened last night in the Jewish community. There was a stabbing. How do we look at that in terms of equity and equality? Here somebody else is trying to come in and interfere in somebody else's practice of their faith and religion. Can't we see equity in the Jewish faith, in the Islamic faith, in the different ways of Christianity, or even atheism? Can we see any kind of equity in difference? How about different races? Different races. Can't we see not a necessary equality? I think different races require different things. We're different. Can't we have a sense of different, an equity in difference?
You need to be taught that.
Yes, education.
You need to be taught that, and you don't see it unless somebody teaches you that you can be the same even though you are different.
Well, how about if I understand what you're saying, but can't we recognize the uniqueness of being different?
We can, but you have to be taught that.
Yes. So it's not necessarily trying to raise somebody up. I'll get to you in a minute. Raising somebody up to all be the same. It's understanding that I have to accept you as all being different. And I have to see the equity in the individual.
It's from South Pacific. You have to be carefully taught.
Connie.
Say you have to be the same as I am.
Okay. My coordinator asked this person this question, what does equality look like? And we talked a little bit, and then she posted something on Facebook about the Islamic religion who takes child brides, and the man is allowed to do whatever they want from a child up. Now, for me, I find that to be very offensive. I think there's some things that we have to look at as a society and say, no, that can't happen. So at what point does equity and equality and all this stuff kind of mesh together? I mean, allowing somebody to do and have respect for difference, I understand, but that only goes to a certain point, doesn't it?
You see that in countries like the United States with our Muslim counterparts here. But when you're dealing with a society in their homeland, such as whether you take Saudi Arabia or whatever, where it's legal, do we have the right to step in and start dictating moral policy to them? That's the question. Because that's what's creating the conflicts between cultures and religions.
Yes, but at the same time, when they come to this country, they must accept our laws and at least the society's exception of those laws that says, no, that's not right, you can't do that here. And many, if they're really strongly believe that, will still try to do it in this country. And that's where the public perception is skewed by that.
So equality would be a step up. But it would not be the final point. And to answer your point, Jerry, I think at some time we as the free world, free-thinking people, have to step in, and certain ideas have to be terminated. That's how I...
But we see, when we've tried that in other countries throughout history.
But it has to...
Every time we've tried to force that, we've wound up into a war.
Well... I understand, but look at the change that happened after the two world wars. I mean, the world has changed dramatically from before and after. You're thinking.
Yes.
If you wanted to be what? You have to speak up a little bit.
Haven. Is the county agency that supports domestic violence and freedom from domestic violence. It took them close to 20 years to get cooperation from the state police, where if you called with a call the police with a call of domestic violence, you actually got a response. Because prior to that, your home is your castle, it's what you do in it's your business. And I realize from a law enforcement point of view, it's very dangerous to show up to a domestic violence call. It's, you know, I will give you that. But they did not respond at all.
So domestic violence was...
If you went to the emergency room, they didn't automatically provide a rape kit or anything like that. They just kind of said, we've got to deal with your husband. You know, here's Bandit. And it took, as I said, basically 20 years to get any kind of measure of equity. This is here.
This is right here in this county, right here in this town, right here. Right, I agree. We have a lot.
It's not just other countries necessarily or other religions. There is still that concept that somebody is superior and is allowed to do.
Male dominance.
And the laws on the books are one thing, and they're a first step. But those laws. 59, that was 69.
It's not that long ago.
15 years to finally get Brown versus Board in place in that county. And that county is not the backwoods. That county is the edge of the Research Triangle between Raleigh, Chapelville, and Durham, which is, you know, to the rest of the world, when they look at achievement and advances, it is one of the pinnacles.
Right, it is. Right, I agree. We do have a lot to do at home, absolutely. But the problem is, whose authority are you going to give to do these things?
Not a man.
It should be a group.
They'll get done a half a step at a time.
Yeah, it's a slow process.
You don't keep kicking a little bit, you don't get anywhere. And if you kick too hard, there's this lovely recoil action that throws you back. North Carolina is in recoil right now. They made a lot of progress.
Still got a ways to go.
And they got far enough that the people that didn't want what was happening got mad and said no, and have voted in their election saying no, and the progress that, you know, was happening in 69 has backed up to a great degree. I use them as my other counterpoint because we still have a lot of connections down there. I have a lot of affinity.
I think this year's election cycle is going to bring a lot of that back up again.
Yes,
it's going to be a year of migraine headaches.
When I worked into the court systems here in Tioga County, the main problems we have with women and equal rights, okay, there was a lot of bargaining done outside of the courtroom. Okay? And not only with the judicial system, but then you had some families where the father, head of the household, like if his daughter was, say, raped or something, he didn't want nothing to do with it. He didn't want it publicized. He didn't want his name disgraced. And so the courts had a heck of a time trying to defend a minor because the father, who was in control of the situation, tried to demean what had happened to her. And see, if you have somebody stepping on even a child's rights, which in this country, children don't, they're not on the same playing field as an adult. They're at the mercy of the adult, the court systems, and even their church.
So are we that much different that we point a finger at Islam who has his child bride, you know, are we that much different?
In some aspects, no.
No.
We talk a good one.
Yeah, we talk a good one.
Well, we have ideals. I got to aim at something better.
Yeah.
But that something better is significantly down the road on a lot of topics.
And a lot of topics.
But the problem is enforcing them, even though we got the laws on the books, it's hard to get even some of your judicial people to actually fight to enforce it and to protect people.
I would agree.
There's a lot of prejudice in that.
I got to work in Harford County. In the state, I learned to pronounce Merlin, which is just south of the Mason-Dixon line, and I didn't think it was that south, but it turned out it was. And the schools where I worked were only recently integrated when I was here in the late 60s. So, yeah, it was still happening, and there were still black schools, and it was a pretty new thing. But this will be really quick, but I wanted to read the lyrics
Okay, so if I was raised a conservative Mennonite that looked outside the world and said everybody else is going to hell. That theology is still being preached today. And so when I look at the Jewish faith in which I see in happened in New York City, I see them being very similar to the way I was raised. I'm not sure what to do about that type of stuff. But I think sooner or later, we as a society have to look at some of these religious beliefs and say, okay, that's it. And who's going to do that? Somebody has to. Or we're going to have a society in which it's going to be, you know, enmity everywhere you look. Can we have respect? Can I look at the Mennonite faith in which I was brought up and still exists today in the judgmental and which it does? Can I say that that's a good thing for society to have? How are you going to train that child differently? I'm lucky I made it through.
You got out.
I got out. There's a lot of people who don't. They're still there to this day.
Yeah, a lot of them are locked into that belief. And being berated by this day in and day out, they know no better. And so even as they grow up, they're not going to accept anything external.
The guilt level that comes in that transition is tremendous.
Yes,
I know.
It is.
Yes. I get your point, but I think Genesis was taken wrong way from the very start. I think it was used to manipulate to put men at the top. Yes. I think it should be jointly. Yes, we have a long way to go, and I agree. There's a lot of, I mean, in the years that we grew up, there was a lot of incidents of male overshadowing.
Yeah, you couldn't interfere with your family or home. The male had to say, you want to do this right? The other was the other way. Okay. Without the equalness of that child that can't speak for themselves, or the woman that's scared to death because she's going to be beat again, you know, the man.
So, equality in the way you would look at it would see that we would all be considered to be equal would be a good step forward.
In a sense that, you know, you have to put yourself in that shoes. Would you like to be the woman of the tribe and you get to be them and tell them everything? A man has to start, I think it weighs a lot on men's shoulders to change.
I think we have done a lot of damage. I think women need to stand up and kick and yell and scream, as someone has said.
And run for president.
Run for president. I think ethnicities should stand up. And you know, we have to have a, you know, brighter light. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, I don't, do I have an answer to how we're going to get there? I think we should get there, but I think there are really some serious questions and issues we need to deal with as a nation.
One of the issues would be, too, what one person thinks of as equality, another person thinks isn't there yet.
Yes. Okay, so what you're saying is, okay, so we give women the right to vote. From a male perspective, we say we gave women the right to vote. Now they want control of their body. You know, no, we gave them enough, right? So that's equality, right?
Well,
that's from a man's perspective.
Okay, yeah. So in a sense, that's what she's trying to say. So at some point, we said, that's it. That's all you're going to get. And like you said, down south, we're in the Research Triangle area, where they said, okay, that's enough. The legislators kicked back and said, okay, no, this is it.
That's a little more exaggerated, but so many times, especially in this society, and it shows up most when we talk about how people are offended by something and all of a sudden you're not supposed to say or do something because one person or one small group has stood up and said it offends us. We don't, as a society, see everything the same. One small portion can't say, well, we're not equal yet because they can't live someplace. Well, have they tried moving there? Well, no. Then how can you say you're not equal? But there are those who would do that. And so you're never going to reach, in our lifetime or our kids' lifetimes or even our grandchildren's, a place where everybody says we're equal.
I can certainly see the phrase of an atheist friend who said that if we get rid of all religions, we would probably be a step ahead.
I said that for years.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not, but I can certainly see where that comment has a certain amount of relevance, because it is a lot of our religious faith that has caused a lot of this inequity. It has.
It has, and we've come a long way. We just realize we need to do more. But if we got rid of all religions, I think that's part of what's wrong with our society today, is that they not so much make fun of religions, but say they're not important anymore. And people equate religion with certain ideas, such as what we call common decency in many ways. You get rid of all religion, you've lost a lot of ideas that are still transforming the world.
So being good for goodness sake is not going to stay alive.
No.
I think we need to grow, and I think we need to change. And we're in the midst of all of this. We are in this this golden age of transition, and it has happened before. But now we're on a global scale. And where are we going to make it? I think this year is going to be really tough. I think this is going to be a tough year. I mean, we have a voice, and I think we should speak. I think you should be able to speak one way or another. And I'm not going to even get into politics because I want to stay away from that. Even spiritually, as a church, we need to speak up against theologies that are holding us back.
If you can give them the right to vote, don't elect one president.
I would welcome something different. Myself, I would think that a different light that's standing up there and guiding our country would be great. I don't care what ethnicity or what sexuality, what gender, whatever, it doesn't matter to me.
She could stand in the harbor and hold up a lantern.
I am amazed that women's stories that seem to be coming to the surface a lot more, and ethnicities that are coming forward that I hear, like on Facebook and various different things. If you pay attention, they are coming forward a lot more.
Something that I think of as an optimistic note is society changes in cycles, and we push and pound and suffer our migraines. And at some point, you have to stop and go, I'm worn out.
Right.
And we got worn out here. I think we're coming out
So this next year is going to be a year of hammering and banging?
I think it's going to be
I think you're right.
Year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a horrendous year.
I think ultimately it's going to produce another cycle. I think we need a gap in here. Let me catch my breath. You know, let me get over the headache we just had. Let me catch my breath. But I think we're going to move. And exactly what's going to cause it.
So maybe we'll have open minds and open hearts, and maybe we'll sit down and have dialogue.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll see the what's happening at the upper levels that we don't like, and we say, we don't like that no more. We don't want that no more. And maybe we as the people may be able to change things.
They have pointed out a variety of times recently that 68 was a horrendous election year. And it was a horrendous time period for the United States. We moved out of it. We had progress.
Yeah.
So I'm optimistic that having lived through that one,
I think, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel for sure, but I think that this year is going to be really a tough year. I think. I think we have to be very respectful in how we say things and the dialogues that we have. But
if we're going to make it work.
If we're going to make it work. Yeah, we have to be respectful.
There was a lot that came out of 68, but it looked horrendous in the public arena. But there were a lot of things that came out that ultimately were positive, and we started moving.
I think there's an undercurrent. I think the undercurrent is there. There's a good undercurrent. Many, many good people doing many, many good things.
That is smart.
I think this is going to be one of them, possibly one of them years where we're going to see riots. I do.
Bobby Kennedy was killed around that
time. Yeah, he was Kennedy. And he didn't
want
his president
in
a while because he was Catholic.
Yeah.
You know, he thought
yeah.
That was
going
to be
hysterical.
To
that
was Brother JFK in
60.
But
the June of
68
was when Bobby was killed after the primary election in California. And where I was teaching then during the primary season, he had people like Governor Wallace that was very well received by the community that I was in. And that was in Wisconsin. It was not, borderline anything. It was just, there were a lot of people that were very concerned that they had too many minorities making too many minorities having a voice. So, but ultimately, things got better.
John writes, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. There are many places in the life to come. It's not the same." Yes, I'm going to cut it off. And so what does equality look like? It depends. Does difference get an equal light at the table? It isn't part of Jesus' message, a large part of Jesus' message, that we all have equity and that we all come and we give value to the world around us and to as an individual, we have value and equity. So what does equity or equality look like? God bless us in this year to come. Thank you.
come to all mankind. All of this with me in mind, under Bethlehem skies.
Peace has come to all mankind.